Good evening, everybody. I'm Pastor Shannon Williams. You are watching the KTF podcast, or you're listening right now on one of the platforms we're streaming on. We're so glad to have you tonight on this awesome podcast. Do y'all agree? Is this awesome or what?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
In the mouths of two or three witnesses, it shall be established, my friends. And so this is the KTF podcast. It stands for Keeping the Faith, and where we always stand for truth and we defend the faith. Tonight, we have an awesome topic. Before we jump in quickly, let me introduce my co-host. Here we go to my left. We got B. Mizzle.
What's up, America? How y'all doing?
And to my right, PBJ.
What's happening? What's going on, everybody?
John's behind the cameras doing the switching around, and he wants to give y'all his love, too. Yeah. Amen. All right, so tonight's topic is going to, I think, is going to get you motor running, is what I believe. Why do people hate Jesus? Why do people hate Jesus? If Jesus is the Son of God and he came to die for the entire world, biblically, as we look at this, and he says, I'm going to offer you eternal life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eternal life. It's a gift, the Bible says, unto those who will receive it. If Jesus is giving a gift of himself, of salvation, freedom from sin, freedom from sickness, freedom from disease, freedom from hell, to have your whole life redeemed so you can spend an eternity with God, why would anybody hate that? That's what we're talking about tonight. Why would they hate Jesus? Okay, so we're going to jump into the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 4, Brian, you're gonna talk about where they were telling them not to talk in that name.
So Peter and John just healed the guy at the beautiful gate.
That's right.
And now the Pharisees and Sanhedrin had them, brought them in to question them. So picking it up in chapter 4, in verse 7, it said, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name have y'all done this?
That's right.
You know, there's something about the name of Jesus.
That's right. Let's come on.
There's many songs been written about the name of Jesus, been many verses. If there was 114 scriptures that talks about the name of Jesus, not Jesus' name, but saying the name of Jesus.
Right.
There's power in that name, right?
That's right. That's the power. That's the name given to all of us where salvation lies.
These guys were not idiots.
That's right.
You know, they knew something had happened. There was a miracle. They knew it.
They couldn't deny it.
They couldn't deny it. This guy was 40 years old, lame from birth.
Yeah.
And now he's walking and praising Jesus. So they're like, something happened here.
That's right.
What's going on here? And we get to down to verse 8, and Peter
come on, Peter,
filled with the Holy Ghost.
What's Peter got to say? First of all, Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost.
This is what I want to say right here. He was filled with, this is not Peter's salvation, guys.
That's right.
This is a different feeling.
That's right.
This is not upon salvation.
This is a Pentecost day in filling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. The Holy Spirit moving and setting up residence on the inside of you.
That's right.
That's right.
This is a separate event.
That's correct.
This is where Peter's boldness came from.
Yes, sir.
You know, 5,000 just got saved, you know, while Peter's preaching.
3,000.
3,000.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And, so we have to have this infilling of the Holy Spirit.
We
cannot go through life without it. We cannot be.
What did it do for the believers?
That's right. It
empowered them to preach Jesus, preach the gospel. He said this. He said, after you're endued with this power, not salvation, after you're endued with this power, you shall become witnesses unto me.
That's right.
In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He basically said, you're going to witness of what you've seen and what you've heard.
That's right.
And you're going to take this message. You're going to go out. The message is Jesus' empowerment comes from the Holy Spirit, right?
That's right.
And so they told him after he got up and preached, this is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing was not done by our hands.
Exactly. If you go on down here, it says, it'll be known to all you. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole.
Praise God. He's standing. He's right there.
It's Peter saying, look, guy, The one that you crucified, you hung on the cross. The one that raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Is the one who healed this man.
That's the
it
one.
It ain't nothing yeah. in me.
That's and you know what I love about Peter? Peter was like, hey, don't look at us like we're the ones
yes,
that did this.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And this is what bothers me. This is what bothers me about modern ministries, guys, that they'll something big will happen. They'll say, hey, guys, look at me. Look at what I did. Yeah. I did this. I touched them. Yeah, I prayed for them.
Recognition.
Yeah, man. You know what? You didn't do anything but be a vessel. That's all you were. Yeah.
That's it.
The power was God. The spirit was God's. The healing is God's. And he's the one that deserves all the credit and all the glory. Mm-hmm. And so this is what they said. This was their resolution. All right. We can't deny this miracle.
That's right.
We can't deny that it happened. So they were afraid, but they were still scheming.
Yeah.
And they said, all right, guys, don't preach anymore in this name. And what do? They threw them in jail.
Yeah.
Right? So an angel came, lets them out of jail. They roll out of the jail. Yep. Right? And they go immediately to do what again?
Keep preaching. Preaching
they keep sharing. They keep preaching Jesus, man.
Yeah. You know something I read today when I was reading this? This Sanhedrin and these Pharisees, it's very possible Paul was in that group of people.
Well,
have you heard that?
History history does tell us and inform us that Paul said the reason why he would have gotten the status he would have gotten, the Bible says that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah.
That he was an elite Pharisee. He wasn't a chump change Pharisee.
He just
right,
that guy.
Yeah, and so they say he would have been married, right? So something would have happened after his conversion, possibly where his wife would have left him, right? You couldn't be on the Sanhedrin council,
yeah.
So he was one of them,
yeah.
Right? That yeah. How could he go and get letters say, hey, send me exactly. to go persecute the church? They wouldn't send a scrub to go persecute the church. Right. They were going to send somebody that knew the law, that understood what was going on. And so Paul had this major transformation in his life, and he became a brand new person after the Damascus Road experience.
You know, in Acts 26:10, it says this. This is Paul speaking. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. So he had authority. He was part of this clique at the beginning of the Acts.
Sure he was.
You know, so it's very possible that he was part of the ones that Peter was preaching to at this
time. So do you think the reason why they were hating on the name of Jesus at this point is because Paul had switched teams on them? And Peter and all these other people that Jesus is becoming more popular than them? Is that you think that's one of the reasons why they were like, hey, stop preaching in the name
of
Jesus?
They knew the power, there was power in the name of something, right? They knew this healing came from somebody, from Moses, from Elijah, you know, and they could not stand what Jesus did, right? They didn't like his ministry. They knew what had happened. And when this healing took place, they're preaching, this is Jesus, the one that y'all crucified.
Yeah.
Now they're like,
that was like a double prick to the heart.
Yeah, they're
like,
God Almighty, we did screw up, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's like, man, we were trying to end this.
Yes.
That their scheming was trying to put Jesus to an end.
Right.
Well, then obviously you got these empowered, emboldened disciples now who are now preaching in Jesus' name. And so Pharisees. The reason why Pharisees and religious people hate the name of Jesus, now you say they love Jesus. No, they love the form of Jesus that they love. But let me tell you, you get a cessationist and you get a continuationist in the same room, and there's friction.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't do this.
Yes.
Well, this is done in the name of Jesus. I don't care what name it's done in. God, don't do this no more. So there's this pressure of, we don't believe the same way you believe, and if we don't completely agree, then we're trying to shut you down. It's an old school cancel culture.
Well, here's my 2 points to this topic, right? The devil uses two ways to come against the cross, against Jesus. One is lies and deception.
That's right.
Genesis 3. When he says, did God really say?
Yeah.
You know, for way back then, he's been deceiving, and he's like, do you really think you can heal somebody? You really think God's going to forgive you of your sins? You're putting this doubt and fear into believers' minds. That's one tactic.
Yeah.
The second tactic is religion. Mm. Religion by the fact of, you could pray to Mary, you could pray to these saints, and they're going to bless you, which is hogwash. Mary can't bless anything.
Or forgive you.
Or forgive you of your sins. These saints can't do anything for
you. That's correct.
A man in a box can't do anything for you. He can't forgive your sins.
No.
Okay. And then another one these gifts did not stop. That's a deception. That's a lie from the enemy.
So what you're saying is, as long as he can take the power and get the power out of the message, as long as it's dry,
the devil's in that.
Okay,
them religions that believe. I'm sorry. I you know, we agree on a lot of things, but to say God stopped doing some things and quit ministering, quit. And I get it. Your rebuttal is, well, God can do whatever he wants, but he's not going to use you to do it.
He's not going to use you to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they didn't say, what Peter just say? I ain't done nothing.
I didn't do this.
That's where we stand.
That's right.
As continuationists. I ain't doing anything, but I'm going to allow the Lord to use me to do something.
I'm just a vessel.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just going to ask for God's will to be done. Yeah. I'm going to be a vessel to let the king. I'm going to be the one praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done.
Right. Right.
Right. Right. So is it PBJ, will? What do you think? Why do people hate Jesus? Why do they hate the cross? And why do they hate people that stand and Christians who stand for Christ?
So I have it written here. Why is Jesus hated so vehemently? Because he reminds people that they are sinners. Are sinners. Most people do not want to be told that they need a savior to even imply that a person is deficient in his moral life. Is offenses and it causes anger. You know, people, they hear, man, Jesus loves you. Whoa. Jesus doesn't love me and my issues and my sin. You know, people go through the struggles of life. People go through their daily life and they are accustomed to their sin. And if Jesus is going to disrupt that, then they automatically hate Jesus. They automatically hate Christianity. They don't want anything to do with it. And me, I was the same guy. I was that guy.
You'd rather live in your sin.
Oh yeah, I wanted to.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Mentality.
Right. Yeah. People don't want Jesus. They don't want Christianity. They don't want any of that to disrupt their normal daily life of how they live.
I have a problem with salvation. People say, "Oh, they come up to the altar, they fill out a card, they say a prayer, and they go back to their own sinful ways."
They didn't get saved.
That's not salvation.
No, it's not.
Jesus says, "I transformation." That's what it is.
Yeah,
I'm no longer that person anymore.
Yeah,
Second Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm not that same person anymore. Yes, you may backslide and fall back into it for a minute, but it's not your desire to do that.
Yeah,
you know.
You know, I want to read the scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God."
That's right.
So if you could imagine seeing someone preach the gospel, most people are not saved. When they see someone standing on a platform, on a stage, out in the open, and they're proclaiming Christ, they think this is the most foolish thing ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? They think this is so foreign because they do not believe. All right, so here, if in order to get saved, you must do what?
Confess.
You must confess your sin.
That's right.
And you must say it and admit that I'm a sinner.
That's right.
Right.
So if you don't want to confess that, if you don't believe that your life is wrong, then hearing Jesus came to save you, and you're like, save me from what?
Life. That's exactly what.
Save me from what? You know what? I'm living my life. I'm enjoying my life. Yeah. I'm going to the bar. I'm going to the club. I'm living promiscuous. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Why in the world would I want to get saved from this?
Yeah.
It's because they believe that what they're in is the best that there is.
Yeah.
Then there is no other way. So when they hear someone preaching, it looks foolish.
Yeah.
That person looks like a fool.
Yeah.
I watched a video the other day, and the video was this. The guy was sharing. He was at some kind of ball game. I don't know if it was a Tennessee game or something. It was a football game, and people were going into the game. It was at a stadium. He's preaching about Jesus, and Jesus loves you and all that. And people were yelling out, F your Jesus, you know? There is no God, blah, blah, blah. Just very offensive things. And the guy was over here going, you know, I'm just trying to tell you that there's an eternity.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you that there is sin. I'm trying to tell you that there is a Savior named Jesus, and he loves you. And they were so angry that they literally were cursing him, you know, because people need to hear this message. People need to understand that there is a damnation out there.
You know,
there is consequences to sin, but they would rather not hear a message that they deem to be offensive. And I got a list here of some things that I believe reasons why. Okay. And I got scriptures, but I want to hear some more from you guys about what maybe y'all that are watching. Maybe you, what are some reasons why you believe people hate Jesus and they hate the cross? You know, why is it that it's so offensive to people? You know, when I was living in the world, I would hear people preach Jesus and it didn't offend me.
Right. Yeah.
It, a matter of fact, it inspired me.
Yeah.
Like I was like, wow, that person's really living for God. They're bold. Man. Look how bold they are. I was impressed by them. Mm-hmm. I would see people in my school before I got saved, man. There was one guy, I'll never forget this guy, Eugene. I went to like this little get together before school. I got invited. And this guy's, man, he's up there praying and laying hands on people. And I thought, man, he's so bold, man. You know, and I even thought, well, what's stopping me from being bold like that?
Yeah.
But I didn't love my sin, and I think that's first thing.
That's where I was at. I love I knew God was good.
Yeah.
I knew there was, you know, he was the right path. But like Ben said, I love my sin. I love what I was doing. And I would see my friends that were saved and on fire for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I would, to make myself feel better, I would make fun of those guys.
Yeah.
You know,
really?
Oh, yes. I would pick on them and
look at that,
and bully them.
That holy roller.
Like, really? Yeah, ridicule them?
Yeah.
Call them names or like?
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, goody two shoes.
Look at you. Look at you, you goody two shoe.
Yeah. Not pushing them down and beating on them, but you know, just trying to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
What do you do when you feel guilty of something?
Isn't that what most people do, yes, though?
Exactly.
In order to take the eyes and focus off of them, yes, they throw insults on someone else. Well, you're this and you're this.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Stop looking at me. I don't want to think about what's going on in my heart and my life right now.
But the true friends, the true ones, they would see, you know, they're like, you'd love on them. You'd love them anyway, you know, because you're like, there's just something good about them, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was the grace of God. It was the Spirit of the Lord upon their life.
Yeah.
And it's drawing. Yeah. You know, I'll never forget when I, like you say, the gospel was foolishness. I'd go to a church service. I said, man, what is this? This is, look at that suit up there, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just, I wouldn't be upset with it, you know, but it was just what for me, right?
Right.
And then I remember just hearing a message, and it every bit of it was just like darts hitting me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he was preaching just to me. I was only one in the congregation,
yeah,
you know. And I remember just crying and weeping, and I'm like, what is this? What is happening to me here, you know? Yeah. And it was conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit was coming upon me.
Yeah.
And I just remember like, wow, I just got to get saved, you know.
Is that when you got saved?
Yeah.
That's when you got saved.
First got saved, you know, and I backslid from there. I ain't going to lie. But, you know, I remember that powerful God moment, you know. And I hope, and I think it happens for everybody. Whether you
accept it or not.
You can squelch it and say,
you can. You can quench the spirit.
Yeah, I ain't hearing that. I'm pushing that back until you just like, okay, what else have I got?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Jesus said in John 15, he said this, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first.
That's right.
And so for people out there, you're like, man, these people are so angry. They're so ugly towards me. And I even ask myself that sometimes, you know, because I'm out in the digital world.
Oh, I'm
out
sure
here in the social media. Let me tell you something, man. These people get buck wild.
Yeah,
you know
do
what? I'm like, okay, I'm a pastor. I'm going to stand up against this. This is not right. This is not good.
How dare you.
I explain why it's... I can't believe a pastor would do and say such things. I was like, I can't believe a pastor wouldn't.
Yeah, you know
like, why are you so angry that there's a man or a woman or somebody out here that's standing up for truth?
Yeah.
It's because they hate Jesus. And if they hated Jesus, they hated you. They hated Jesus first.
Yeah.
You know, they can't stand it because Jesus reveals to them who they are. So you can't ignore Christ.
Yeah.
You can't ignore it. Let me tell you, the reason why people get so angry at street preachers or people that are posting and sharing online or their ministry's public, and they're saying, you shut up, stop shoving your religion down our throat, truly, it's because they can't ignore the message.
Yeah.
You can't, see, okay, so if somebody's got a commercial about, you know, about this product right here, which they do not endorse us, by the way. So if someone said someone's got a message about that, and I'm like, I don't really care for that. I don't really care for that product. Right. So in and out, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me at all because I can ignore that. But the message of Jesus, when it shows up in your face, you either have to do one of two things. You must accept it or you must reject it.
Yep.
That's why you hear and see people going, ah, you ever seen them people just start screaming like, ah, oh, you know, just going crazy on somebody out in public. I watched one guy, a woman grabbed a microphone and was like, I'm not letting go of this microphone. And like, she just, like, it didn't make sense. The woman was a professor of a university.
Yeah.
And she's over here grabbing this man's mic and just going crazy. And he's like, ma'am, just let go of my stuff. I'm not touching you. Don't touch me. Don't harass me. She ended up getting arrested.
Yeah.
Why?
The guy that got spit on. Remember?
Because she was so angry. Why? Because she did not want to hear that she was in the wrong. I don't know why it's so hard for people to say, you know what? My life is full of sin.
Pride.
My life. I didn't, you know what, when confronted with the gospel, it was not a very difficult thing for me to say, yeah, you know what, God, I am wrong. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so hard for people.
I think people are just completely blind to their sin, though. A lot of them are blind. Like,
Well, I think they think they're their own God. They've achieved in life. I've done this on my own.
All the goodness
comes from God, right? Yeah. Whether you're a heathen or not.
Yeah,
the Bible does not exclude you being a heathen. If your goodness is happening in your life, it's from God.
Yeah,
and they're to them to say, "Oh no, look at me! I did this self gratification, self righteousness."
Right.
When Christ, you know, I think when Jesus, if Jesus would have came as a king, a mighty, you know, triumphant king, instead of not having a place to lay his head, you know, it would be, you can't deny. Look at this man, what he did. You know, he was lowly and meek, but he's powerful, and he had everything, you know. He had all the power of God, but yet he came as a man.
Yeah.
If he'd have done it any other way, I think it would be hard for us to grasp it, you know.
Yeah. The Bible says, let's look at this real quick. It says, and this is the condemnation. This is John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Their sins, their deeds, they're all wicked.
Yeah. That's right.
If they look at their hands are bloodied and nasty and filthy because their deeds are evil, and they love their deeds. Right. Their deeds are dark. So when the light shines into a dark place, they don't like that exposure. Mm. And so that's another scripture that explains why people will hate the message of Christ. They'll hate the message of God. Romans 1:26-30. I mean, there's a lot in there. I'm not going to read all of it, but one of them is they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They were gossips, slanderers, and here's the word, God haters.
Mm.
So people that are full of sin, they're full of these acts of sin. They tend to be the ones that hate God. If you are a God hater, I will guarantee this, 99.9%, there's a reason why. It's because your life is filled with sin, and you refuse to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so then there's this scripture. Listen, I'm filling them up today.
Come on.
I'm filling them up. I got the word. And we're going to give you the word of God, okay, because this is truth and life. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, whose unbelieving minds the little g God of this world has blinded, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, that it should shine unto them. Mm-hmm. So what? God's light is being blinded from people. The devil has blinded people's eyes from seeing the truth.
You know, that you used two scriptures there. Both of them had to do with light and darkness.
That's right. Yes.
You know,
that's exactly right.
You could this room could be pitch black dark, right?
Yeah.
And you can't shovel it out of here, right?
No.
The only way you can get darkness to leave is to have the light come in.
That's right.
You know, so
when lightness shows up, when light shows up in the dark, what does the dark do?
Darkness
the dark
flees.
The dark enrage.
Yeah.
Oh, yells yeah. and screams as it leaves. I don't want to leave. Don't make me leave. So it will either leave, right? Or it'll allow the light to continue to expose them. This is why I tell people, continue to, like, my life's not perfect. I still sin. I still do stuff. I still do this. Keep coming to church.
Amen.
Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. The longer you're in the light, the longer you hear the word of God, the more you're allowing light to be exposed in your heart. And eventually, it will show you places in your life where you need correction.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible says in Revelation that God corrects those, he chastens those that he loves.
Yeah, that's right.
If he didn't love you, he wouldn't correct you. And so I got...
Well, that's another problem. Everybody's like, well, if God's so loving, why does he discipline it? You know, why does good things happen to bad people? I mean, whatever. You know.
Well, there's this false...
Bad things happen to good people.
There's this false pretense that God, you know, it's like God accepts you as you are.
Yeah.
God accepts you just as you are.
Yeah.
Okay. What... Well, does he accept you as you are, or will he receive you as you are?
Well, God does not accept.
He don't accept you as you are.
See, here's the problem. You think you're a homosexual. God does not accept homosexuality. He loves you as a person.
In order to get to the Lord, what must you do?
You must have to repent of that.
You must say, God, I am willing to set this sin down.
Exactly.
And refute, repent, renounce this sin.
That's
in order to come to you. This is what repentance is. It is walking away from darkness, wickedness, ungodliness in order to receive grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And so God doesn't say, come as you are, stay as you are, I accept you just like you are.
Yeah. Well, how did we get away from repentance? You know, now it's making a comeback in the pulpits now, but for years nobody preached on it.
Excuse me.
I think the jellyback pastors,
because they wanted to get bigger crowds.
They wanted numbers, and it got away from the gospel. The gospel was believe in Jesus, repent of your sins.
Let's give you the candy coated message instead of what you really need to hear.
They were all about let's fill the seats. Let's fill the pews.
Yeah.
Fill my pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know? that's deception, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know, that's just deception. And religion can't save you.
No.
A church can't save you.
Mm.
Jesus can save you. You know?
Right.
That's the only thing that can save you. And so there is a hate in the world for Christ. Can you look at any other religion out there.
Yeah, they don't hate Joseph Smith or Muhammad.
They don't hate Buddha.
No, they don't hate Allah.
Allah.
Listen, Muslims, they'll take a homosexual and throw them off the top of a building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people don't say a word about it.
Yeah.
But we as Christians will say, you know what? That is a lifestyle that is not approved by God.
How dare
you? And it's sin. And we're just letting you know that this is something that needs to be repented of and turned from, because God has a better plan for you. And then we're hated upon. There is a thing called Christophobia. Do you know that?
Explain that.
Christophobia is a discrimination and a hatred against Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I looked this up. This is actually a real thing.
That sounds like a lot of people.
I'd say we're close to the Bible being read in public as hate speech or... You know, I'd say we're...
Ooh, look at that. Is that on the screen right now? Just read it out. Yeah. Okay, Christian phobia or Christophobic. Anti-Christian sentiment, also referred to as Christophobia or Christianophobia, consists of the fear of, hatred of, discrimination, or prejudice against Christians, the Christian religion, and its practices. This is a real...
Yeah,
real situation.
Yeah, it is.
And if you don't believe me, we'll just take you over to Revelation, where the Bible says that the government, the government that's going to rise up, this Antichrist government, is going to have blasphemy upon its head, and it's going to wage war against the saints of God.
Yeah.
Why would you wage war against somebody that you do not consider your enemy? Mm-hmm. See, Christians are seen as enemies. Well, and that's because Christ is the message of hope and salvation. Mm-hmm. And if the devil has you, you're going to hate the message of Jesus.
Well, like he was preaching in Revelation the other night, they didn't want to give up their sorceries. They didn't want to give up their murders, their
drugs.
Theft, their drugs.
That's right.
They're just like, I ain't giving it up. So therefore, I'm going to rebel against you. So I'll go to war against the believer. God. Can you imagine that? I'm going to go to war against Jesus Christ because I don't want to give up my Xanax.
My God.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love my sin more to the point where I want to wage war against God. That's the entire war in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the devil is bound for 1,000 years and he's loosed, he's going to come out from that bondage. You know what he's going to do? The Bible says he's going to be loose for a little season. He's going to go around. He's going to stir up all the kings of the earth, all the leaders, and he's going to get them for one last time to rise up and attack God and the people of God. And then Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to wipe them all out. The Bible says he's going to open his mouth, and out of his mouth is going to come a two-edged sword, and it's going to destroy and wipe them out. Praise God.
Yes.
I mean, because wickedness can't stand, and that's the truth. So if you're in darkness, you're in wickedness, listen, the truth is repent. Don't hate the gospel. The gospel is your salvation. It's freedom. Yes. It's life. It's truth.
Yes.
Excuse me. I got four things that I want to share. Reasons why I believe. I've already shared the scriptures behind them. All right. Four reasons why people will hate the cross. Number one, they love their sin more.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they view conviction as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel convicted. I went to church and I got convicted. I'm not going back to that church.
Yes.
That preacher spoke about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he preached about me.
And then when you're convicted, you find everything possibly wrong with it. Well, the music sucked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
I had some millennials come to the church, and I preached Jesus as hard and as fast as I could to them at a funeral. And I started getting letters and emails. I'm talking like over and over and over and over from this whole group that got up and walked out.
Yeah.
Because I said, you know what? You can't live a life of sin. You need repentance. And they got so mad. They said that the goal of the church is not to recruit sinners.
What is it, man?
I said, no, that is our entire goal. Like, I don't even understand. Like, you call it recruiting. We call it fishing.
Yeah.
And so guess what?
Anything else is a country club.
I'm going to cast the line out, and I'm going to do my best to put the bait on there and say, here, this is something you need in your life. You know what? And there's people that are going to say, there's fish that swim right by that bait.
Yeah.
Just like there's people that's going to swim right by that line, and they're not going to take that. They're not going to take it. They don't like it. So guess what? You know, live your own life, live by your own circumstances, but don't get mad at the messenger. Don't get mad at the person sharing truth, because that's wrong. Just because you're convicted don't mean it's the fault of the messenger.
Well, you know, at Easter, when the mega church wanted to take the blood out, the cross out, the resurrection out, which everything that, you know, Easter stood for, let's do away with all that because we want to appease a different crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I was preaching.
We want to get them on the door.
Yeah. I was preaching at the nursing home the other day, and I said, let me play some old hymns. So I started looking, Wendy and I started looking at old hymns. Every one of them was about the blood. It was about the cross. It was about Calvary. It was about resurrection.
Wow.
And from these 1800s, 1700s, early 1900s songs, I was like, this is.
Because that's what the Bible talks about.
This is what it was about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go figure. The songs were based upon the Word of God.
That's right.
And the Word of God talks about Christ, Him crucified, and Him resurrected. I was reading today, and it said, you guys are over here arguing of whether there's a resurrection or not. If there's no resurrection, there's no salvation.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the message that was being shared. People were like arguing back and forth, and, you know, it's mainly Sadducees. They didn't believe. Right. They don't believe in resurrection. But he's like, you guys are over here saying there's no resurrection. But if there's no resurrection, then Christ didn't rise, right? He's the first fruits of resurrection. That's how this works.
What is their argument that somebody stole the body? And
no, they just don't believe in resurrection. Mm. That's one of the things that separates Pharisees from Sadducees is this whole you can't get resurrected from the dead. And so that's what was blocking a lot of people from believing and being saved. And he's like, listen, your salvation is hinged upon the resurrection. Why do you think we get so excited about the resurrection?
Well, you can't be listen to this. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. If we were to die before the rapture, we have to be resurrected. And we can't do that without that spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you thought about that, we have to have that spirit to be resurrected.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no denying the resurrection.
Because Jesus got up from the grave, we're going to get up from the grave too.
Exactly.
He's the first fruits. He's the first one. of the resurrection, right? So that was my second one. They view conviction as bad. Number three is correction of their behaviors isn't acceptable. Their lifestyles, their words, where they go, what they do. If, for example, let's just take three things. I go to the bar, I smoke, and I cuss. I'm sitting in some place and I hear somebody preaching about blah blah blah. You go to the club. Oh, how he can't talk about what I do.
Yeah,
I'm good with everything until he talks about what I do.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're out there cursing, the Bible says that no corrupt communication should come proceed out of your mouth. What? He can't talk about me. You know what? I'm good with God. God's okay. I love Jesus. I just cuss a little. You know, it's that's the way it is. You know, you can preach about anything else, but when you start hitting a place, right? When you start hitting a certain place, yeah. when people start yelping, that means you've hit that dog, right?
Yeah.
That dog's got hit. If he's yelping, something's hit the dog. And so if like you're pressing around in somebody's life and you hit a sore spot and they start yelling, it's because they're convicted by it.
Mm-hmm. I think people,
but they don't want to be corrected.
Yeah, people's value of sin is off. Like sin is sin. Sin is sin is sin. I mean that's what it is. But people value different types of sin in a different.
Oh well,
category.
Yeah, my sin's not as bad as the other.
Yeah, so that's definitely. Oh, you don't talk about these, but you know this other sin.
Right.
We're just not going to worry
right.
about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and but see, God's showing grace. See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, well, maybe you did go to the club, you know, maybe. Well, what if God told you that's going to destroy your life? Do you mm-hmm. so? Are you still going to keep going if it's going to bring destruction? You know, I know people that's like, hey, you know what? I love smoking. I love smoking my cigarettes. Well, okay, but you're hurting your body.
Yeah. You're
hurting your own body. You know, so if I overhear saying, listen, your body's a temple, you should do your best to take care of it, do your best to really, you know, not just that, but, you know, keep yourself in good shape, exercise, do what your body needs, what's necessary. Why would you be offended by that?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible says he wishes above all things that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers.
That's right.
You know, so, but where there's a sore spot, people get angry about.
Yeah,
you can't preach that because I don't need correction here, right? Well, let me say this: the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement, and that's in all of our lives.
Yeah.
So don't think you've arrived. If the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, said, "I have not considered myself to have arrived or attained anything, but I still press for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." If he's still pressing towards the mark, he doesn't consider himself as arrived.
And all that he achieved, he's like, I consider it all done.
Yeah, so you know, that's right. Yeah.
He was a Sadducee of Sadducees, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and it got me nowhere.
There's something in your life that you can get right.
Yeah.
There's something in your life right now.
Oh, yeah.
You say, well, I don't have sin in my life. Well, I mean, do you doubt God?
Yeah.
Because doubt is sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a wickedness is to doubt that God can, you know? And then my last one is, I want to get through that, and then we'll see where we go. Is the fourth one is people are blinded by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they hate God, because they're blinded. And to them, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to come to God. It makes no sense to read a Bible.
You know, I think about that movie with the trafficking. Well, I can't remember the Sound of Freedom.
Yeah.
And the scene where he's in the diner with the guy that's going to sell him the child, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck
and
cast in sea than hurt one of these. And he's looking at him like,
what are you talking about?
What are you even talking about? Yeah. And this is a grown man. And he has never, and it registered, he has no idea.
He don't even know what he's talking about.
He don't have
he's never
any
even
clue.
Probably heard that scripture.
He never has, you know. He never has probably even heard anything of the Bible.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed?
That's it.
How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard?
How shall
they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
And how shall they preach except they be sent?
That's right.
So we're sent by God to go into all the world to preach the gospel so they can hear the gospel, so they can receive grace and forgiveness and salvation.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. So right. if they're enemies of the cross, it's because they love their sin. They don't like to feel conviction, and correction is out of line for them, and they're blinded by the enemy. Mm-hmm. And so we need to pray for them. We need to pray for the world and their eyes to be open. We need to pray for those loved ones, for their eyes to be open. The reason why they have such anger and hatred, the reason why they get so bitter when you talk about something is because there's something that's blocking the free flow of God in their heart.
Yep.
And we need to pray it out. So let's pray. We're running out of time tonight for this podcast. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. We lift up every man, woman, boy, and girl, especially those that are against God. Lord, I know, Lord, that if they've persecuted, Lord Jesus, they'll persecute us. They'll come against the believer. They'll hate the cross, but the cross is salvation.
Yes.
And we thank you for that cross. I thank you that you bled and died and hung on a cross. And not only that, but you resurrected from the grave.
Come on.
You got up, Lord, and you're the first fruits of resurrection for all of us. And so, God, we thank you, Lord, for living and breathing and dying and resurrecting, and that you now make intercession for all of us. And we now pray for the lost. We now pray for those that are far from God to come closer. And I just want to pray for those right now watching. God, I want to ask them to pray with me right now. If you're watching right now, just pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior.
Yes.
I repent of all my sin. I turn away from wickedness or anything that's hurt your heart. I confess Christ is dead, resurrected, and is alive forevermore.
Yes. Yes.
I believe in the cross, amen. And I put that now into profession in my life. Forgive me and make me whole. Break every curse. Get rid of every demonic influence in my life and help me to live for you, Jesus Christ, every single day of my life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We believe by faith, if you prayed that prayer, you're free.
Amen.
Amen. So we send this out to you now, and we ask that God would continue to pour into your life many, many blessings because it's just begun. Amen. So I got some news for you. If you just got saved, get a Bible, start reading it, pray every day. Find a church and get involved.
Amen.
It's really hard to backslide when you're involved, when you're giving, when you're sowing, and when you're praying and reading the Word of God every day. It's really hard to run back when you've received all the goodness of God. Amen. I'm the host, Pastor Shannon Williams. We're so glad that you joined us here, right here on the KTF podcast. Much love, much blessings to you, and in Jesus' name, be set free.
Amen.